Penguin Random House Audio presents The Tao of Bill Murray, real-life stories of joy, enlightenment, and party crashing. This is the author, Gavin Edwards. Dedicated to Rob Sheffield, The Light That Never Goes Out. Author's note. Bill Murray has shown up everywhere. From the sideline of the 1986 NFC Championship game, wearing an old-fashioned leather football helmet, to the Mediterranean island of Euronesos, volunteering as a digger on a 2006 NYU archaeological expedition. Because everything seems possible when it comes to Bill, the man has attracted more than the usual number of fabulists. For years now, inventing Bill myths has been one of the internet's favorite games. In case you were wondering, Bill isn't running for president. And he doesn't actually have the contractual right to steal the master tapes of the Wu-Tang Clan album, Once Upon a Time in Shaolin, for Martin Shkreli. But one of the beautiful things about Bill Murray is that there are more than enough staggering true anecdotes to fill a book. This book, for example. While working on The Tao of Bill Murray, I conducted dozens of interviews with Bill's friends, collaborators, and acquaintances, and consulted countless published reports. Other writers have compared an encounter with Bill to a visit from an angel. While the man's temperament is more profane than sacred, I feel blessed that before I started writing this book, he answered some of my questions about his approach to existence. My conclusions, like any errors in this audiobook, are my own. Bill gets the credit if you find inspiration in his extraordinary life. Introduction. You are standing on a corner in New York City, waiting to cross the street. Lost in thought, you aren't paying much attention to the world around you. Suddenly, a man puts his hands over your eyes and says, "Guess who?" Nobody's played this game with you since elementary school. It would be alarming, except that the voice is familiar. You can't quite place the speaker, but you're pretty sure he's a friend. You whip around and see, much to your surprise, international film star Bill Murray? He is taller than you expected, and his shirt is wrinkled. You sputter, groping for words, unable to process the unlikelihood of this situation. Bill grins, leans in close, and quietly says, "No one will ever believe you." Variations on this story began to circulate widely around 2010. Sometimes it happened in New York, sometimes in Austin, Texas, or Charleston, South Carolina. Sometimes Bill wasn't blindfolding people with his fingers. Instead, he was stealing a French fry off somebody's plate, or grabbing a handful of popcorn from a stranger at a movie theater. But the punchline was always the same, underscoring that this encounter was an eruption of surrealism on an otherwise ordinary day, meant to be enjoyed for a few flickering moments. No one will ever believe you. For years, it was unclear whether this was something that Bill Murray actually did, as part of a personal campaign to make the world a better, odder place, or whether it was an urban legend that had grown large enough to have its own zip code. Asked point blank about it in a magazine interview, Bill artfully managed not to unravel the mystery. "I've heard about that from a lot of people," he said. "A lot of people. I don't know what to say. There's probably a really appropriate thing to say. Something exactly and just perfectly right." Bill considered the rhetorical tightrope he was walking, and then he smiled. "But by God, it sounds crazy, doesn't it? Just so crazy and unlikely and unusual." In the 70s and 80s, Bill starred in comedy blockbusters such as Ghostbusters, Caddyshack, and Groundhog Day. Just as his success as a wisecracking film star seemed to be dwindling, he reinvented himself with wry, world-weary performances in much-lauded movies like Rushmore and Lost in Translation. In recent years, however, his fame has seemed almost completely disconnected from his accomplishments as an actor. Bill Murray, according to popular belief, has become the man who will drop by your bachelor party to give a toast, come to your assistance when you're having engine trouble, or crash your party and then wash the dishes. One minute, you might be walking around your hometown with your fiancé, taking engagement photos. The next minute, Bill Murray could be standing in front of you with his shirt over his head, rubbing his belly. If Bill Murray makes a surprise appearance in your own life, you know that no one will ever believe you. But they should. All those things have happened to actual human beings. There is photographic evidence of Bill doing karaoke with strangers and crashing kickball games. I've spoken with multiple people who had a real-life Bill encounter that ended with those infamous words, "No one will ever believe you." When my friend, golfer Dan McLaughlin, ran into Bill at the annual Pebble Beach golf tournament, he asked Bill point-blank if that phrase was something he said. "Oh yeah, all the time," Bill confirmed. It turns out that while it's fun to live in a world where Bill Murray might cover the eyes of strangers and maybe find other ways to prank the world, it's even better to live in a world where he really does these things. The Navajo had Coyote. The Ashanti people of Ghana had Anansi. The Norse had Loki. They're all mythological figures that taught humanity how quick thinking could enliven and enrich the species. Also high on the honor roll, Hermes, ancient Greece, Reynard, France, Bugs Bunny, Looney Tunes. The 21st century USA has Mr. William Murray, our modern-day trickster god. The fact that he occupies this place in our society means not just that he's willing to engage the universe with freewheeling tomfoolery. It tells us that as a culture, we need somebody to embody the spirit of all-American anarchy. If celebrities have taken the place of demigods, living out myths in the pages of tabloid magazines, then Bill Murray is our philosopher clown. A couple of years ago, I interviewed actress Melissa McCarthy at an Italian restaurant in Los Angeles. When she told me about her first encounter with Bill Murray, in the makeup trailer for the 2014 movie St. Vincent, she remembered, "He was really funny and so distracting that I couldn't even be nervous. He's the most present person I have ever met. He's not trying to alter himself for the situation. He's absolutely in his shoes. If I could do that 10% more in my life, I'd be a better, cooler person." I confided, "I feel like Bill Murray is secretly teaching us how to live." "I have those theories myself," she said, her voice falling to a whisper. "You can't read him. It's all part of the magic." One night after St. Vincent wrapped, McCarthy and her husband, Ben Falcone, had two choices for an evening. They could do practical household chores, or they could sit in their backyard and stare at nothing and talk about nonsense. Consciously trying to model their lives on what Bill would do, they chose the backyard nonsense and had a wonderful time. "Thank you, Bill Murray," she testified, "for making me choose randomly and not practically." If you want to learn life lessons from Bill Murray, however, it helps first to know how he's led his own life. William James Murray was born on September 21, 1950, in Evanston, Illinois, a suburb of Chicago. He grew up in nearby Wilmette. He was the fifth of nine children for Edward and Lucille Murray. Money was tight. The kids slept three to a room. "In a large family," Bill said years later, "you have to learn to get along." Coming before Billy, as he was known as a kid, Edward, Brian, Nancy, and Peggy. Coming after him, Laura, Andrew, John, and Joel. When you're the middle child in a large family, it's hard to get attention from your parents. Billy figured out early that a surefire way of doing that was to make his father laugh. One of his most vivid childhood memories is the time he stood on his chair at the dinner table doing a Jimmy Cagney impression. When Billy fell off, he smacked his head painfully on the table leg. Through his tears, he saw his father laughing, and the pain seemed worth it. "No drunken audience could ever compare to working our dinner table," Bill remembered. "If you got a laugh, it was like, whoa! It was like winning a National Merit Scholarship." Three of Bill's brothers went into show business, the most successful of them being Brian, who works under the name Brian Doyle Murray. His older sister Nancy became a nun. They called her the white sheep of the Murray family, and still ended up as a performer, touring the world with a one-woman show about a 14th century holy figure, St. Catherine of Siena, a woman for our times. Bill long believed that his sense of humor was shaped by his father, who worked as a salesman for a lumber company. He was severe and dry, but also funny, in the vein of Bob Newhart. Much later in life, Bill's siblings informed him that his antic humor actually channeled his mother. "She's completely out of control," he said. "I just never noticed it." It wasn't long before Bill was acting for an audience other than the Murray family. At St. Joseph's Grade School, he played the innkeeper in a Christmas pageant, attending Loyola Academy, the largest Jesuit high school in the United States. He appeared in the Caine Mutiny and then auditioned for a production of The Music Man. Largely, he said, because there were girls there.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?